A Ship of the Line, written by C.S. Forrester and read by Christian Rodzka.
Chapter 1. Captain Horatio Hornblower was reading a smudgy proof which the printers had just sent round to his lodgings. "To all young men of spirit," he said, "seamen, landsmen, and boys who wish to strike a blow for freedom and to cause the Corsican tyrant to wish that he'd never dared the wrath of these British Isles. His Majesty's ship Sutherland, of 2 decks and 74 guns, is at present commissioning at Plymouth, and a few vacancies still exist to complete her crew. Captain Horatio Hornblower in command has lately returned from a cruise in the South Sea, during which, in command of the frigate Lydia, of 36 guns, he engaged and sank the Spanish vessel Natividad, of 2 decks and more than twice the force. The officers, petty officers, and men of the Lydia have all joined him in the Sutherland. What heart of oak can resist this appeal to join this band of heroes and share with them the new glories which await them? Who will teach Monsieur Jean Crapaud that the seas are Britannia's, where no frog-eating Frenchman can show his face? Who wishes for a hatful of golden louis d'or for prize money? There will be fiddlers and dancing every evening, and provisions at 16 ounces to the pound, the best of beef, the best of bread, and grog at midday every day of the week and Sundays, all in addition to the pay under the warrant of His Most Gracious Majesty King George. In the place where this notice is read can be found an officer of His Majesty's ship Sutherland who will enlist any willing hearts who thirst for glory." Captain Hornblower struggled against hopelessness as he read the proof. Appeals of this sort were to be read in dozens in every market town. It hardly seemed likely that he could attract recruits to a humdrum ship of the line when dashing frigate captains of twice his reputation were scouring the country and able to produce figures of prize money actually won in previous voyages. To send 4 lieutenants, each with 6 men, round the southern counties to gather recruits in accordance with this poster was going to cost him practically all the pay he had accumulated last commission, and he feared lest it should be money thrown away. Yet something had to be done. The Lydia had supplied him with 200 able-bodied seamen. His placard said nothing of the fact that they had been compulsorily transferred, without a chance of setting foot on English soil after a commission of 2 years' duration. But to complete his crew, he needed another 50 seamen and 200 landsmen and boys. The guardship had found him none at all. Failure to complete his crew might mean the loss of his command, and from that would result unemployment and half pay, 8 shillings a day, for the rest of his life. He could form no estimate at all of with how much favour he was regarded at the Admiralty, and in the absence of data, it was natural to him to believe that his employment hung precariously in the balance. Anxiety and strain brought oaths to his lips as he tapped on the proof with his pencil. Silly blasphemies, of whose senselessness he was quite well aware even as he mouthed them. But he was careful to speak softly. Maria was resting in the bedroom through the double doors behind him, and he did not want to rouse her. Maria, although it was too early to be certain, believed herself to be pregnant, and Hornblower was sated with her cloy tenderness. His irritation increased at the thought of it. He hated the land, the necessity of recruiting, the stuffy sitting room, the loss of the independence he'd enjoyed during the months of his last commission. Irritably, he took his hat and stole quietly out. The printer's messenger was waiting, hat in hand, in the hall. To him, Hornblower abruptly handed back the proof with a curt order for 1 gross of placards to be struck off, and then he made his way into the noisy streets. The tollkeeper at the Halfpenny Gate Bridge, at sight of his uniform, let him through without payment. 12 watermen at the ferry knew him as the captain of the Sutherland and competed to catch his eye. They could expect an ample fee for rowing a captain to his ship up the long length of the Hamoaze. Hornblower took his seat in a pear-oared wherry. It gave him some satisfaction to say no word at all as they shoved off and began the long pull through the tangle of shipping.